Time Warner Audiobooks presents Rich Dad's Guide to Investing by Robert T. Kiyosaki, read by Jim Ward.
Hello, my name is Robert Kiyosaki. I am the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is a true story about my two dads. My real dad was the head of the education system for the state of Hawaii. He was a very smart man, and in my opinion, an academic genius. Although I call him an academic genius, he is a person I also call my poor dad. I call him my poor dad because, although a high-paid government official, he was usually broke at the end of every month. My rich dad was my best friend's father. He started with nothing and ultimately became one of the wealthiest men in the state of Hawaii. The Rich Dad book and audio series compares the differences of the teachings about money between my rich dad and my poor dad. This program, Rich Dad's Guide to Investing, is the third in the series after Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant. Rich Dad's Guide to Investing begins with a question I asked my rich dad when I first became interested in the subject of investing. The question I asked was, "What advice would you give to the average investor?" His reply was, "Don't be average." The reason he said that was because the average investor does not make money. They do not necessarily lose money, they just don't make money. In other words, they put money at risk to ultimately make nothing. They may make money one year and give it all back the next. That's why he said, "Don't be average." The subtitle of this program is, "What the Rich Invest In That the Poor Middle Class Do Not." In other words, there are different investments for the rich, the poor, and the middle class. This program is about the type of investments the rich invest in and how you may be able to invest in the same investments even if you have very little money or investment experience today. This program focuses on what my rich dad called the 90-10 principle of money. Most of us have heard of the 80-20 rule, the rule discovered by the Italian economist Vilfredo Pareto in the late 1800s. Rich Dad subscribed to the 80-20 rule, but he said, when it comes to money, the rich operate by the 90-10 principle of money. Rich Dad's 90-10 rule of money explains why 10% of all investors make 90% of the money. It also explains why 90% of all investors only make 10% of the money. Rather than tell you what investments to invest in, this program will give you an overall view of this large subject of investing. Once you understand the big picture of the subject known as investing, then you will be better able to choose for yourself what kind of investor you want to be and what you may want to invest in. Regardless if you only have a little money today or a lot of money to invest, you can use my rich dad's guidance to find the investment plan that is best for you.
Rich Dad's Guide to Investing. Most of us have heard of the 80-20 rule. In other words, 80% of our success comes from 20% of our efforts. Originated by the Italian economist Vilfredo Pareto in 1897, it is also known as the principle of least effort. Rich Dad agreed with the 80-20 rule for overall success in all areas but money. When it came to money, he believed in the 90-10 rule. Rich Dad noticed that 10% of the people had 90% of the money. An article in the Wall Street Journal recently validated his opinion. It stated that 90% of all corporate shares of stock in America are owned by just 10% of the people. This program explains how some of the investors in the 10% have gained 90% of the wealth and how you might be able to do the same. As a boy, my rich dad studied the richest men in America, such people as John D. Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan, and Henry Ford, and he copied their formulas for becoming billionaires. This investment formula is similar to the one that has created the young technology billionaires of today before age 30. It is an investment formula similar to that of Warren Buffett, America's richest investor, of George Soros, a great technical investor, and of Donald Trump, a great real estate investor. It is a very powerful business and investment formula that most of the richest people in the world have followed. Their investment formula was to create assets by building successful businesses. They then became selling shareholders. As selling shareholders, they became the 10% that own 90% of the money. So, Rich Dad became a rich man because he studied the business fundamentals and investment formulas of the ultra-rich and put what he learned into practice in his own life. He then spent years teaching the same fundamentals to his son and me. Rich Dad, Poor Dad went into the basic fundamentals of financial literacy and the use of corporations. The next audio program in the series, Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant, was about the fundamentals of knowing and understanding people, the most important assets and liabilities to any business or investment. This program goes into much greater technical detail of the fundamentals and formulas of great wealth. It is a compilation of approximately 40 years of knowledge passed on from father to son and son's best friend, me. That is why this program is not for investors who are looking for the quick fix, the easy answer, the magic formula, or the hot tip. This program is exactly as the title states, a guide to becoming a very rich investor and investing in the investments that rich investors invest in. It is only a guide and offers no guarantees, just as my rich dad offered me no guarantees, only guidance. A brief review of the cash flow quadrant. Understanding the fundamentals of the cash flow quadrant is important to gaining the most insight out of Rich Dad's Guide to Investing. The cash flow quadrant is divided into four sections. In the upper left is the letter E, which stands for employee. In the lower left section is the letter S, which stands for self-employed. On the other side of the quadrant, the right side, the upper letter is B for business owner, while below is the letter I for investor. The cash flow quadrant was very important to my rich dad. He would explain the core emotional and technical differences among the people in each quadrant. And those core emotional and technical differences are why certain people gravitate to certain quadrants. Understanding the concepts presented in Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant is an essential step for anyone striving to become successful as an investor. Rich Dad often said to his son Mike and me that if we wanted to be successful in the B, business, and I, investor quadrants, we had to be able to quickly recognize the different people from the various quadrants. He explained that one way you could quickly tell who was in which quadrant was to listen to their words. A person from the E or employee quadrant would often say things such as, "I'm looking for a safe, secure job with benefits." Obviously, one of this person's highest core values is security. In other words, this person would probably want more guarantees from his or her job or investment choices. A person from the S or self-employed quadrant would use different words. A person from this quadrant can often be heard saying such things as, "I charge $100 per hour," or, "My commission is 6% of the sales price." Obviously, this person's core value is independence. These are the rugged individuals of the business world. They like being in control of their own time, and they often do things on their own. Rich Dad often chuckled when he said, the S quadrant also stands for solo, smart, or specialized. These individuals are often the ones who did well in school and became doctors, lawyers, or accountants. Or they are highly specialized perfectionists, whose most common saying is, if you want something done right, you've got to do it yourself. The problem with being in the S quadrant is that if you stop working, your income often stops coming in as well. Rich Dad said, the difference between an S quadrant business owner and a B quadrant business owner is that a B quadrant business owner can leave for a year or more and return to find his business running better and his income increased. Rich Dad said, if you cannot leave your business for more than a year, you do not own a business. You own a job. B quadrant business owners often have many businesses. Donald Trump, for example, has over 50. When a reporter said, two of your businesses are in trouble, all he said was, so what? I have 50 more that are doing just fine. A B quadrant business owner finds guarantees in something else, something that the employee and self-employed individuals do not have. That is what much of this program is about. This difference in guarantees, or what Rich Dad had called controls, is often what creates the extreme differences in income between people in the different quadrants. One of the difficulties in becoming very rich from the E, employee, and S, self-employed quadrants, is the lack of leverage. These individuals must often personally work for every dollar they earn. Therefore, that dollar amount is often unlimited. This is why you often hear people from these quadrants say, time is money. Much of this program is dedicated to first increasing the dollar amount each of us can earn from the B, business quadrant, not from the E, employee, or S, self-employed quadrants. If you are set on remaining in these two quadrants, this program may be of limited value. I want to help people like you become very rich, so that you can then invest in the investments of the rich. To do that, however, you may first need to be willing to make some changes. Changes that go beyond investing $10,000 in something safe and secure. You first need to change yourself. Phase 1. Preparing yourself mentally to be an investor. What should I invest in? When I returned from my tour of duty in Vietnam, I was 25 years old and felt fortunate to have been assigned to a base in Hawaii, near home, rather than to a base on the East Coast. After settling in at the Marine Corps Air Station, I called my friend Mike, and we set up a time to have lunch together with his dad, the man I call my rich dad. Mike was anxious to show me his new baby and his new home, so we agreed to have lunch at his house the following Saturday. When Mike's limousine came to pick me up at the drab gray base BOQ, the Bachelor Officer's Quarters, I began to realize how much had changed since we'd graduated together from high school in 1965. "Welcome home," Mike said, as I walked into the foyer of his beautiful home with marble floors. Mike was beaming from ear to ear as he held his 7-month-old son. "Glad you made it back in one piece." "So am I," I replied as I looked past Mike at the shimmering blue Pacific Ocean, which touched the white sand in front of his home. The home was spectacular. It was a tropical one-level mansion with all the grace and charm of old and new Hawaiian living. There were beautiful Persian carpets, tall, dark green potted plants, and a large pool that was surrounded on three sides by his home, with the ocean on the fourth side. The home fit my fantasies of living the luxurious life in Hawaii. "Meet my son, James," said Mike. As I stood there waving and making faces at a baby blankly staring back at me, my mind was still in shock at how much had changed in 8 years. I was living on a military base in old barracks, sharing a room with three other messy, beer-drinking young pilots, while Mike was living in a multi-million-dollar estate with his gorgeous wife and newborn baby. The lunch was spectacular and served by their full-time maid. I sat there enjoying the meal, the scenery, and the company when I thought about my three roommates who were probably dining at the officers' mess hall at that very moment. After the pleasantries and catching up on old times was over, Rich Dad said, "As you can see, Mike has done an excellent job investing the profits from the business. We have made more money in the last 2 years than I made in the first 20. "So business has been good?" I asked. "Business is excellent," said Rich Dad. "These new 747s bring so many tourists from all over the world to Hawaii that business cannot help but keep growing. But our real success is from our investments more than our business, and Mike is in charge of the investments." "Congratulations," I said to Mike. "Thank you," said Mike, "but I can't take all the credit. It's Dad's investment formula that is really working. I'm just doing exactly what he has been teaching us about business and investing for all these years." "It must be paying off," I said. "I'd love to invest with you. I saved nearly $3,000 while I was in Vietnam, and I'd like to invest it before I spend it. Can I invest with you?" "Well, I'll give you the name of a good stockbroker," Rich Dad said. "I'm sure he'll give you some good advice." "No," I said. "I want to invest in what you're investing in. I want to be in a deal with you guys." "We'd love to have you invest in what we invest in," Rich Dad said, "but it would be against the law." "Against the law?" I echoed in loud disbelief. "Why?" "Because you are not rich," said Mike softly and gently. "What we invest in is for rich people only." Mike's words went straight through me. Since he was my best friend, I knew they were difficult words for him to say to me. I was beginning to sense how wide the financial gap between us was. While his dad and my dad both started out with nothing, he and his dad had achieved great wealth. My dad and I were still from the other side of the tracks, as they say. I could sense that this big house with the lovely white sand beach was still far away from me, and the distance was measured in more than miles. "So I can't invest with you because I'm not rich," I finally said. "And if I did invest in what you invest in, it would be against the law?" Rich Dad and Mike nodded. "In some instances," Mike added. "And who made this law?" I asked. "The federal government," Mike replied. "The Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC," Rich Dad added. "It was created to protect the public from wild, unscrupulous dealmakers, businessmen, brokers, and investors." "Why do you laugh?" I asked. "Because while it protects the public from bad investments, it also keeps the public out of the best investments," replied Rich Dad in a more serious tone. "Which is one of the reasons the rich get richer?" I asked, tenuously. "You got it," said Rich Dad. I chuckle because I see the irony in the big picture. People invest because they want to get rich, but because they're not rich, they're not allowed to invest in the investments that could make them rich. So what should I do? I finally asked. Why can't I just give you my $3,000 and you combine it with your money and we split the profits when the deal pays off? We could do that, said Rich Dad, but I wouldn't recommend it. Not for you, anyway. Why, I asked. Why not for me? You already have a pretty good financial education foundation, so you can go way beyond just being an accredited investor. If you want, you could become a sophisticated investor. Then you will find wealth far beyond your wildest dreams. Accredited investor? Sophisticated investor? What's the difference? I asked. An accredited investor is by definition someone who qualifies because he or she has money. That is why an accredited investor is often called a qualified investor, Rich Dad explained. But money alone does not qualify you to be a sophisticated investor. Too often we hear of high-income people such as doctors, lawyers, rock stars, and professional athletes losing money in less-than-sound investments. They have the money, but they lack the financial sophistication to make good decisions. A sophisticated investor knows the three E's, said Rich Dad. Education, experience, excessive cash. Achieve those three items and you will be a sophisticated investor. The room went silent as the conversation ended. All three of us were deep in our own private thoughts. What are you thinking about? Asked Rich Dad. I was thinking that maybe I should become a sophisticated investor, I replied quietly. That would be a wise choice, said Rich Dad, and with that, the three of us raised our glasses in a toast. To excessive cash, and to being a sophisticated investor. On that day, my lessons in investing began. Lessons with Rich Dad. Rich Dad and I met for lunch at a hotel on Waikiki Beach. He had never seen me in uniform before. I guess he finally realized I had grown up since high school. We talked about my experiences since my youth, how I had fought in a war, and how I felt the need to do more in terms of my financial future. I also recalled some of the lessons he taught me as a kid. And what was my first lesson? Asked Rich Dad. The rich don't work for money, I said promptly. They know how to have money work for them. A broad smile came over my Rich Dad's face. He knew that I had been listening to him all those years as a kid. He said, very good, and that is the basis of becoming an investor. All investors do is learn how to have their money work hard for them. After that, the lessons came in five phases, each phase taking me to a higher level of understanding. Understanding the thought process of Rich Dad and his investment plan. The lessons began with preparing mentally and taking control of myself, because that is the only place that investing really takes place anyway. Investing ultimately begins and ends with taking control of yourself. Investor lesson number one, the choice. When it comes to money and investing, people have three fundamental reasons or choices for investing, Rich Dad said. They are to be secure, to be comfortable, or to be rich. Rich Dad went on to say, all three choices are important. The difference in one's life occurs when the choices are prioritized. He explained that most people make their money and investment choices in that exact order. In other words, their first choice when it comes to money decisions is security. Second is comfort, and third is to be rich. That is why most people make job security their highest priority. After they have a secure job or profession, then they focus on comfort. The last choice for most people is to be rich. Rich Dad said, most people dream of becoming rich, but it is not their first choice. He went on to say, only 3 out of 100 people in America are rich because of this priority of choices. For most people, if becoming rich disturbs their comfort or makes them feel insecure, they will forsake becoming rich. That is why so many people want that one hot investment tip. People who make security and comfort their first and second choices look for ways to get rich quick that are easy, risk-free, and comfortable. A few people do get rich on one lucky investment, but all too often, they lose it all again. I often hear people say, I'd rather be happy than rich. That comment has always sounded very strange to me, since I have been both rich and poor, and in both financial positions I have been both happy and unhappy. I wonder why people think they have to choose between happiness and being rich. When I reflect upon this lesson, it occurs to me that what people are really saying is that I'd rather feel secure and comfortable than be rich. That is because if they felt insecure or uncomfortable, they were not happy. For me, I was willing to feel insecure and uncomfortable in order to be rich. I have been rich and poor, as well as happy and unhappy. But I assure you that when I was poor and unhappy, I was much unhappier than when I was rich and unhappy. I have also never understood the statement, money does not make you happy. While there is some truth in it, I have always noticed that when I have money, I feel pretty good. The other day I found a $10 bill in my jeans pocket. Even though it was only $10, it felt great finding it. Receiving money has always felt better than receiving a bill for money I owe. At least that is my experience with money. I feel happy when it comes in and sad when it leaves me. That day, I put my priorities in this order. First, to be rich, then to be comfortable, and finally, to be secure. Investor lesson number two. What kind of world do you see? One of the most startling differences between my rich dad and poor dad was what kind of world they saw. My poor dad always saw a world of financial scarcity. That view was reflected when he said, "Do you think money grows on trees?" or "Do you think I'm made of money?" or "I can't afford it." When I spent time with my rich dad, I began to realize that he saw a completely different world. He could see a world of too much money. That view was reflected when he said, "Don't worry about money. If we do the right things, there will always be plenty of money." One of my personal struggles was shaking the idea that the world was a world of not enough money. From 1973 on, Rich Dad had me become very aware of my thoughts when it came to the subjects of money, working, and becoming rich. Rich Dad truly believed that poor people remained poor simply because that was the only world they knew. Rich Dad would say, "Whatever your reality is about money inside of you is the reality of money outside of you. You cannot change your outside reality until you first change your inside reality about money." A big part of taking control of myself was taking control of my internal reality about money. I have had to constantly remind myself that there is a world of too much money, because in my heart and soul, I have often felt like a poor person. Investor lesson number three. Why investing is confusing. There are many different investment products. Here is a sample of some of the different types of investments. Stocks, bonds, mutual funds, real estate, insurance commodities, savings, collectibles, precious metals, and hedge funds. Rich Dad often said, "Investing is confusing because it is a very large subject. If you look around you, you'll see that people have invested in many different things. Look at your appliances. Those are all products from companies that people invested in. You receive your electricity from a utility company that people invest in. Once you understand that, then look at your car, the gas, the tires, seat belts, windshield wipers, spark plugs, the roads, the stripes on the road, your soft drinks, the furniture in your house. All of these things are there because someone invested in the business or building that delivers you the things that make life civilized. That is what investing really is all about." Rich Dad often ended his lessons on investing with this statement. "Investing is such a confusing subject for most people, because what most people call investing is not really investing." Investor lesson number four. Investing is a plan, not a product or procedure. Rich Dad often said, "Many people focus on a product, let's say stocks, and then a procedure, let's say trading, but they really don't have a plan. Most people are trying to make money by what they think is investing. But trading is not investing." "What is it if it's not investing?" I asked. "It's trading," said Rich Dad, "and trading is a procedure or technique. A person trading stocks is not much different than a person who buys a house, fixes it up, and sells it for a higher profit. One trades stocks, the other trades real estate. It's still trading. In reality, trading is centuries old. Camels carried exotic wares across the desert to consumers in Europe, so a retailer is also a trader in a sense, and trading is a profession. But it is not what I call investing. And to you, investing is a plan to get you from where you are to where you want to be," I said, doing my best to understand Rich Dad's distinctions. "Yes," he said, but people often get attached to a particular vehicle and fail to see all the other investment vehicles and procedures available. I know people who invest only in stocks, as well as people who invest only in mutual funds or real estate. There is not anything necessarily wrong with that type of thinking. It's just that they often focus on the vehicle rather than the plan. So even though they may make a lot of money buying, holding, and selling investment products, that money may not take them to where they want to go. So I need a plan, I said. and my plan will then determine the different types of investment vehicles I will need. Rich Dad nodded, saying, In fact, don't invest until you have a plan. Always remember that investing is a plan, not a product or procedure. That is a very important lesson. Investor lesson number 5. Are you planning to be rich or are you planning to be poor? Most people are planning to be poor, said Rich Dad. If you want to see a person's past, present, and future, just listen to his or her words. Rich Dad's lesson on the power of words was very powerful. He asked, Have you ever heard someone say, It takes money to make money? Standing to get 2 soft drinks from the refrigerator, I replied, Yes, I hear it all the time. Why do you ask? Because the idea that it takes money to make money is one of the worst ideas there is, especially if a person wants more money, said Rich Dad. Handing Rich Dad his soft drink, I said, I don't understand. You mean it doesn't take money to make money? No. Rich Dad smiled as he said, It does not take money to make money. It takes words. The difference between a rich person and a poor person is that person's vocabulary. You need to learn words such as producer price index, profits, and cash flow. All a person needs to do to become richer is increase his or her financial vocabulary. And the best news is, most words are free. Investor lesson number 6. Getting rich is automatic if you have a good plan and stick to it. Years ago, Rich Dad explained to me that investing was not what most people thought it was. He said, Investing is simply a plan, made up of formulas and strategies, a system for getting rich, almost guaranteed. So, if investing is simply a matter of following a recipe, then how come so many don't follow the same formula? I asked. Because following a simple plan to become rich is boring, said Rich Dad. Human beings are quickly bored and want to find something more exciting and amusing. That is why only 3 out of 100 people become rich. They start following a plan and soon they are bored. So they stop following the plan and then they look for a magic way to get rich quick. They repeat the process of boredom, amusement, and boredom again for the rest of their lives. That is why they do not get rich. They cannot stand the boredom of following a simple, uncomplicated plan to get rich. Most people think there is some magic to getting rich through investing. Or they think that if it is not complicated, it cannot be a good plan. Trust me, when it comes to investing, simple is better than complex. Investor lesson number 7. How can you find the plan that is right for you? How do I find the plan that is right for me is a question I'm often asked. My standard answer is that it comes in steps. First, take your time. Think quietly about your life up to this point. Take days to think quietly. Take weeks if you need to. Second, ask yourself in these moments of quiet, what do I want from this gift called my life? Third, don't talk to anyone else for a while, at least until you are certain you know what you think you want. Fourth, call a financial advisor. All investment plans begin with a financial plan. Finally, set realistic goals. I set a goal of becoming a multimillionaire in 5 years because it was realistic for me. It was realistic because I had my rich dad guiding me. Yet even though he guided me, it did not mean I was free from making mistakes, and I made many of them. So start with realistic goals, then improve upon or add to the goals as your education and experience increase. Always remember that it is best to start by walking before you begin to run in a marathon. Investor lesson number 8. Decide now what you want to be when you grow up. In investor lesson number 1, which was the importance of choice, there were 3 financial core value choices offered. They were to be secure, to be comfortable, and to be rich. My list put getting rich at the top. Rich Dad looked at my list and said, Okay, step 1 is to write out a financial plan to be financially secure. What? I asked. I just told you I wanted to be rich. Why should I bother with a plan to be secure? Rich Dad laughed. Just as I thought, he said, the world is filled with guys like you who only want to be rich. The problem is, most guys like you don't make it because you don't understand being secure or being comfortable financially. Call my financial advisor, Rich Dad said. I want a written financial plan for lifetime financial security. Okay, I said. After you have written a plan for basic financial security, find your own advisor and you write a plan on how to be financially comfortable, said Rich Dad. You mean a long-term financial plan that is a little bit more aggressive? I asked. That is correct, said Rich Dad. That is more exciting, I said. That one I can get into. Good, said Rich Dad. Call me when you have that one ready. When we met again, Rich Dad asked, So, what did you learn? I learned that it is not that easy to really define what it is I want for my life, because today we have so many choices, and so many of them look exciting. Very good, he said. And that is why so many people today go from job to job or from business to business, but never really get to where they want to go financially. So they often spend their most precious asset, their time, and wander through life without much of a plan. They might be happy doing what they are doing, but they really do not know what they are missing out on. Exactly, I agreed. This time, instead of just being secure, I really had to think about what I wanted to do with my life. And surprisingly, I had to explore ideas that never would have occurred to me before. Like what? Asked Rich Dad. Well, if I really wanted to be comfortable with my life, then I had to think about what I wanted to have in my life. Things like travel, fancy cars, expensive vacations, nice clothes, big houses, etc. I really had to expand my thoughts into the future and find out what I wanted for my life. And what did you find out? Asked Rich Dad. I found out that security was so easy, because I was planning on being secure only. I did not know what true comfort meant. So security was easy, defining comfort was more difficult, and now I cannot wait to define what rich means and how I plan to achieve great wealth. Investor lesson number 9. Each plan has a price. What is the difference between the plan to be rich and the other two core values? I asked. The difference is the price, said Rich Dad. There is a tremendous price difference between a financial plan to be rich and the other two positions. You mean the investments in the rich financial plan cost more money? I asked. Most people think the price is measured in money, but if you look closer, you'll see that the price is not measured in money, it's measured in time. And of the assets of time and money, time is really the more precious asset. You see, almost anyone in the Western world can easily become a millionaire if he or she simply follows a long-term plan. But again, most people aren't willing to invest the time. They want to get rich now. Investor lesson number 10. Why investing isn't risky. People say investing is risky for three main reasons. First, they have not trained to be investors. They are book smart, but not financially sophisticated. Second, most investors lack control or are out of control. My rich dad used this example. He would say, there is a risk driving a car. But driving the car with your hands off the steering wheel is really risky. He then said, when it comes to investing, most people are driving with their hands off the steering wheel. Third, people say investing is risky because most people invest from the outside rather than from the inside. Most of us know intuitively that if you want a real deal, you have to be on the inside. When Rich Dad listed the three core financial values, he said, it makes perfect sense to invest from the outside when you invest at the secure and the comfortable level of investing. That is why you turn your money over to a professional you hope is closer to the inside than you. But if you want to be rich, you have to be closer to the inside than the professional to whom most people entrust their money. Investor lesson number 11. On which side of the table do you want to sit? When I was between the ages of 12 and 15, Rich Dad would occasionally have me sit at his side while he interviewed people who were looking for a job. At 4:30 p.m., which was the time he did all of his interviews, I would sit behind a large brown wooden table in a chair next to Rich Dad. Across the table was a single wooden chair for the person being interviewed. I saw grown adults asking for jobs that paid $1 an hour with minimal benefits. I also saw people with college degrees, even several with PhDs, asking Rich Dad for managerial or technical jobs that paid less than $500 a month. I asked him, "Why do you want me to sit here and watch people ask for jobs? I'm not learning anything and it's getting boring. Besides, it's painful to see grown-ups so needy for a job and money." Rich Dad sat still at the table for a moment, collecting his thoughts. "I've been waiting for you to ask this question," he said. "It hurts me too. And that is why I wanted you to see this before you got much older." Rich Dad took his legal pad and drew the cash flow quadrant. "You are just starting high school. You are soon going to be making some very important decisions about what you will be when you grow up, if you haven't already made them. I know your dad is encouraging you to go to college so you can get a high-paying job. If you listen to his advice, you will be going in this direction. Rich Dad then drew an arrow to the E, employee, and S, self-employed side of the quadrant. If you listen to me, you will be studying to become a person on this side of the quadrant. He then drew an arrow to the B, business, and I, investor side of the quadrant. You've shown me this and told me this many times, I replied quietly. Why do you continue to go over it? Because if you listen to your dad, you will soon find yourself sitting in that solitary wooden chair on the other side of the table. He reminded me that it is essential to be an investor first, no matter what your choice of profession. Investor lesson number 12, the basic rules of investing. One day, I was feeling frustrated about my financial progress in life. During one of our meetings, I shared my thoughts and frustrations with Rich Dad. I said, I've got my two plans in place. One plan is to ensure that I have basic financial security, and the other, more aggressive investment plan, is so I will be comfortable financially. But at the rates those plans will be successful, if they are successful, I'll never be rich like you and Mike. Rich Dad grinned when he heard that. Smiling and laughing quietly to himself, he said, investing is not a race. You are not in competition with anyone else. People who compete usually have huge ups and downs in their financial life. You are not here to try to finish first. All you need to do to make more money is simply focus on becoming a better investor. Now that your two plans are in place, the plan for security and the plan for comfort, I will explain the basics of investing, said Rich Dad. Investment basic rule number one, said Rich Dad, is to always know what kind of income you are working for. For years, Rich Dad had always said to Mike and me that there were three different kinds of income. There is earned income, which is income generally derived from a job or some form of labor. In its most common form, it is income from a paycheck. It is also the highest taxed income, so it is the hardest income with which to build wealth. There is also portfolio income, which is income generally derived from paper assets such as stocks, bonds, mutual funds, etc. Portfolio income is by far the most popular form of investment income, simply because paper assets are so much easier to manage and maintain than any others. And there is passive income, income generally derived from real estate. It can also be income derived from royalties, from patents, or license agreements. Yet approximately 80% of the time, passive income is from real estate. There are many tax advantages available for real estate. Investment basic rule number two, said Rich Dad, is to convert earned income into portfolio income or passive income as efficiently as possible. Rich Dad then drew a diagram on his yellow legal tablet. It contained the phrase earned income with two arrows pointing away from it. One arrow pointed toward the phrase passive income, and the other pointed toward the word portfolio. Essentially, you want to convert earned income into passive or portfolio income. Investment basic rule number three is to keep your earned income secure by purchasing a security you hope converts your earned income into passive income or portfolio income. Investor basic rule number four is, it is the investor that is really the asset or the liability, said Rich Dad. You often hear people say, investing is risky. It's the investor who is risky. It is ultimately the investor who is the asset or the liability. Investor basic rule number five is that a true investor is prepared for whatever happens. A non-investor tries to predict what and when things will happen. So how does one prepare? I asked. You need to focus and keep in mind what other investors are already looking for. If you want to buy a stock, then attend classes on how to spot bargains in stocks. The same is true for real estate. It all begins with training your brain to know what to look for and being prepared for the moment the investment is presented to you. Investment basic rule number six, said Rich Dad, is this. If you are prepared, which means you have education and experience, and you find a good deal, the money will find you or you will find the money. Good deals seem to bring out the greed in people. And I don't mean to use the word greed in a negative way. I speak of greed as a general human emotion, an emotion we all have. So when a person finds a good deal, the deal attracts the cash. If the deal is bad, then it is really hard to raise the cash. And what is investment basic rule number seven? I asked. It is the ability to evaluate risk and reward, said Rich Dad. That is the rich level of investing, the level of investing that follows the investment plans to be secure and comfortable. You're now talking about acquiring the skills to invest in investments that the rich invest in. At the rich level, you will find out that there are good losses and bad losses, good debt and bad debt, good expenses and bad expenses. At the rich level, your educational requirements and experience will need to go up dramatically. If not, you will not be there for long. Investor lesson number 13. Reduce risk through financial literacy. I ask my rich dad, how can you say investing is not risky when most people say investing is risky? Easy, said Rich Dad. I can read financial statements and most people cannot. Do you remember me saying to you years ago that your dad was word literate but not financially literate? I nodded. Financial literacy is one of the most important investor basics, especially if you want to be a safe investor, an inside investor, and a rich investor. Anyone who is not financially literate cannot see into an investment. Just as a doctor uses x-rays to look at your skeletal system, a financial statement allows you to look into an investment and see the truth, the facts, the fiction, the opportunities, and the risk. Reading a financial statement of a business or individual is like reading a biography or an autobiography. He continued, for me, it provides a checklist of what is important. It tells me if a business is functioning well. I also use it to overlay onto my personal financial statement to see if it fits. Remember, investing is a plan. See how the business, the stock, the mutual fund, bond, or real estate impacts your financial statement and plan. And finally, a financial statement tells me if an investment is safe and will make me money. If I didn't understand these factors, that would be risky.